The scene, our first reading from Acts chapter 2, is so beautiful. But at the same time, it almost has a feel of once upon a time. I'm not saying that St. Luke is idealizing things or that he doesn't have his facts straight. I'm simply saying that the scene he describes is like nothing I have ever experienced. And if you have never experienced such a beautiful scene either, perhaps you wonder what help the words from Acts chapter 2 have to offer. First of all, what is happening in these readings is that St. Luke is letting us see through a small window into the life of the early church. What we get to see through that window is by no means a full-length feature film, but it is also much more than a mere snapshot. The church our reading describes is full of activity, a vibrant life of worship and an incredible amount of generosity toward the needy, a beautiful fellowship that no snapshot could capture. To me, it's like the intense activity you see when a nest of ants has been stirred up. Every single member of the body seems to be busy with something when you do that. Perhaps to us, the problem with this beautiful scene in Acts chapter 2 is that it almost lacks any problems. You almost have to read between the lines to find anything less than ideal. Apparently, not everyone in Jerusalem had yet come to faith in Christ. For example, verse 43 speaks of every soul in the city, including those not yet converted. And yet, in verse 47, we read that the Lord was adding to the church's number day by day those who were being saved. Yes, some people were in need, but those needs seemed to be met as soon as they came to light. So if there is any problem with this beautiful scene in Acts chapter 2, is that it seems too beautiful, too good to be true. And we have a hard time relating to it. After all, we live in what we sarcastically refer to as the real world, right? We may live in the real world, but for that real world, God in His grace has provided a real Savior. A real Savior, the risen Lord Jesus, our Good Shepherd. You don't need me to tell you that the church today is living in the real world. A world where sin seems out of control, where it's often hard to distinguish the church from the world it's supposed to be witnessing to. The church today faces growing opposition from the world around it. Now, this is nothing new for many Christians around the world, but for the church in North America, this is not something we are used to. Then, far more often than we would like, we hear of scandals within the Christian church. Embezzlements, sexual misconduct, misappropriate funds, things that hurt the church's reputation and makes the world tell the church to clean up its own act before it dares to preach to others. Individually, we all have our own battles against sin. Maybe not big public scandals, but private problems that only we and perhaps a close friend or two know about. but they are still battles. And they leave us bruised and wounded. Then there are wounds we are carrying from sins done against us and our struggle to forgive as we have been forgiven. Add this all together, and it seems our world doesn't look like anything we see in Acts chapter 2. But remember, as beautiful as it is, the scene Luke describes is just a small window into the early church. It teaches us some wonderful things, but Luke is not suggesting that the early church faced no real problems. Just keep reading the book of Acts, and you will see. In chapter 4, real hostility arises against the church, as Peter and John are arrested for proclaiming the gospel. In chapter 5, the church faces a scandal. And Ananias and Sapphira apparently wanted to see their names on a big wall plaque, announcing what a generous people they were. They pretended to make a big donation to the poor, but it was all for show. And to pull this off, they lied. To the church, to the apostles, but ultimately to the Holy Spirit. Moving on to chapter 6, we hear the Greek-speaking widows complaining that they were being discriminated against. We could go on and on, but I think you get the point. Whatever else Luke is teaching us is not that the early church faced no real problems. The world of those early Christians was every bit as real as ours is. But for people then and now who find themselves in the real world, our reading proclaims the life that comes from a very real and risen Savior. Jesus lives. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Luke's description of life in the early church is beautiful. Not because those Christians faced no real problems, but because they were learning to face real problems with a real living Savior. Jesus lives. And because he lives, we shall live also in him. Our good shepherd is leading his flock to life. He came to give us life and have it abundantly, as our gospel today says, John chapter 10. And with David, we pray in Psalm 23, right? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But the scriptures also make it clear that eternal life does not eventually begin when you die in faith. Eternal life has already begun from the moment God joined you in faith to Christ, your good shepherd. That's what Jesus says to us in John chapter 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. The good shepherd is leading his flock through this valley of the shadow of death to where we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No doubt, we look forward to that glorious day. But that life is already now being manifested in his church here. That's what makes our reading from Acts chapter 2 so exciting. It's not that the early church had no real problems. It's that they knew they had a real Savior. They knew they had a real Savior. And that glorious truth could not help but show itself in how they lived out their faith. That life manifested itself in their devotion to the Lord's word and sacrament. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Luke is speaking of the 3,000 or so who had come to faith in Jesus on Pentecost. They were faithfully devoted to the apostles' teaching because that's where they heard the voice of their good shepherd. They were devoted to the fellowship. They are sharing together in Christ and all his gifts, including the gift of the family of faith. They were devoted to the breaking of bread, which may have included regular meals for those in the early church, but it especially involved the regular celebration of the Lord's Supper. And they were devoted to the prayers. God had made them a kingdom of priests, and they earnestly took up their priestly work of interceding for others. The early church lived from a rich, vibrant life of worship. Because they were so strongly connected to the voice of their good shepherd, that word took root in them and made them agents through whom the good shepherd extended his care to others. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. No one told them they had to do this. It was simply the natural care and concern they had for one another as part of the Good Shepherd's flock. Yes, the church today has problems. But what better time to manifest the life and the love of Jesus? What better time to manifest the life and love of Jesus? The same God of love, the same risen Savior, the same Holy Spirit are still at work in the church today. The church of Jesus continues to be fed and strengthened by our Lord's word and sacrament. We gather every week around the voice of our good shepherd, devoted to the apostolic teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Strengthened by these gifts of grace, the church of Jesus continues to serve as the agent through whom the good shepherd extended his care to others in their many needs. First among those needs is the proclamation of the gospel. Everyone still needs to hear that Jesus has died for her or his salvation. But lots of other activities bear witness to that gospel. Food and diaper donations, care for the sick, the dying, and for those going through hard times in our community and throughout the world. These and countless other expressions of care are a natural outgrowth of the church's life, and they all happen because our real Savior and living Savior lives in and through his church. Life in the early church, as St. Paul describes it, might seem too good to be true. Like, it's not part of the real world we live in. But just remember, our reading from Acts chapter 2 is not the church's whole history. Other parts of that history testify to the ongoing presence of sin and to the church's ongoing need for a very real Savior. But the church has just such a Savior. And while our reading is not the church's whole history, it's a very real part of that history. And it demonstrates the very real life that our very real Savior has given to His beloved and forgiven flock. Our real Good Shepherd gives us real life in Him and leads us in that very life. And so you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.